Question 34 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is adoption? Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. The Catechism, as I'm sure by now you are aware, is drawn up on a Trinitarian basis. After the introductory questions 1 to 3, 4 to 20 deal with God the Father, 21 to 28 deal with God the Son, and 29 to 38 deal with God the Holy Spirit. And we are therefore presently in the section which deals with the Holy Spirit and how he applies redemption so that we experience it and benefit from it. This is said to be by means of effectual calling, through which we are enabled to respond to the gospel and receive the Redeemer. And this effectual calling leads us to application of redemption, so that the benefits of redemption come into possession. And the first blessing of redemption is stated in question 33, justification, an act of God's free grace whereby he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. That justification is a judicial act in the court of heaven, regarding believers effectually called and brought to faith in Christ. It is an act in which God forgives all our sins because Jesus died, and in which he declares us righteous in his sight because Jesus lived. That is the first blessing of redemption. The second blessing is adoption, which is defined for us in question 34, an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all of the privileges of the sons of God. In other words, if we asked ourselves the question, what is adoption? We would have to answer it something like this. Adoption is taking a stranger into the family. In this case, a sinful, condemned stranger into no ordinary family, but the family of God and of heaven. Thereafter, dealing with such as children would be dealt with, even as heirs would be dealt with. Now, when does adoption take place? It's a fairly fundamental question, and the answer to that must be at more or less the same time as justification, at the time of our conversion, at the time of our believing. How do we know that? Well, John 1:12 tells us concerning saving faith that to as many as received him, that is Christ, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this is confirmed by Galatians 3:26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So that a person is justified and adopted at the same moment of time when he's converted. But there is a sense in which doctrinally we must say that justification precedes adoption. If you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, you find Paul stating it like this: being justified by his grace, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified, then sons and heirs. Now, chronologically, they can't be separated. Justification and adoption occur at the same time. Nevertheless, logically, they can be separated and should be separated because they are two distinct blessings. In fact, of the two, adoption is, in a sense, an even greater blessing than justification. John Gill puts it like this: a subject may be acquitted by a sovereign from charges laid against him, and a criminal convicted and condemned may be pardoned. Yet he does not become a son. If adopted, we are taken into God's family. And this must be a distinct and a fresh act of royal favor. So upon believing, if you like, the first thing that is done is that God pardons us and declares us righteous. And immediately, he gives us another blessing. So very wonderful. He numbers us amongst his children. Now friends, if we look at these two doctrines, justification and adoption, we shall see that though they belong together, there are differences between them. And let me give you just three differences. First of all, in justification, God deals with us as a judge. He declares us right with himself in the court of heaven, acquitting us from all charges, accepting us as righteous in Christ. But in adoption, he deals with us as a father. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The second difference is this: in justification, the objects are guilty and condemned. Hence, in justification, they are forgiven and received. But the objects of justification, when justification takes place, the objects are guilty and condemned. But in adoption, the objects are forgiven and restored. And that is made clear from Galatians 4 and verses 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Redeemed. And having the benefits of that redemption, we are adopted. And the third difference is this, that in justification, the change which takes place, which is a change of state, is from condemnation to reconciliation. But in adoption, the change that takes place is from estrangement to communion. So that the two deal with different things. Justification brings into experience reconciliation. Adoption brings into experience fellowship. In the one, we are as enemies to God. We need to be justified and reconciled. In the other, we are as strangers and aliens. And adoption brings us nigh and brings us in. So that we are no longer, as Paul says, strangers and aliens. But we are of the household of God. In the scriptures, of course, there are examples of what we call civil adoption. There are three that come to my mind. One is Abram's servant in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 3. And Abram said, "Behold," he's addressing God, "thou hast given me no seed, for lo, one born in my house is mine heir." The second example of it is Moses, of course, whom Pharaoh's daughter adopted as her own son. And the third is Esther, who, according to the book of Esther, chapter 2 and verse 7, was also adopted. This is civil adoption. But alongside that, in the Word of God, there is spiritual adoption. Now, where is this mentioned? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment, and verse 5. Speaking of God's eternal purpose, Paul writes, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." The adoption of children. A second reference would be in Galatians 4 and verse 5, where Paul writes, "that we might receive the adoption of sons." And a third reference is Romans 8 and verse 15. "We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, civil adoption is a wonderful thing. But spiritual adoption is more wonderful still. Because of the one who adopts, and because of the kind of people that are adopted, and because of the benefits which accrue to those that are adopted by the Father, and are brought into the family of God. Well, I want this morning to open it up a little, and probably I shan't conclude what I have to say, and we'll leave a little for Lord's Day week, God willing. First of all, I want to say this, that God has found a way whereby sinners can be adopted. Now, Ephesians 1 talks of the mystery of God's will, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And in verse 5, Paul says, predestined to the adoption of sons. So from eternity, God conceived how poor sinners, fallen in Adam and ruined on account of sin, could somehow be reinstated and blessed further than they were blessed by creation, blessed by becoming the children of God. So in the decree of heaven, it was determined. And the whole Godhead was involved in this. The Father pitched his love upon certain of Adam's race, saying in the words of Jeremiah 31, already read this morning, I have loved thee with everlasting love. And in that love, within the Godhead, the Father entrusted these elect ones to the Son, that he might remove the obstacles to their adoption, clear the way for them to be brought into the family of God. Hence we read of those who were given to Christ by the Father, all that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me. And Christ is heard in the scriptures saying, behold, I and the children whom God has given to me. And the Son of God undertook in the fullness of time, by obedience and suffering, to secure the right of adoption for God's elect. He redeemed us, Galatians 4, 4 and 5, from the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And he sends forth the Spirit of God with the Word. And it is at this point that the Spirit of God arranged and agreed to come into operation. For the Spirit of God was sent forth to bring the men to Christ, and to receive Christ. In other words, they were, such would be called by the Spirit into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And the significance of that is this, that once they had found Christ, then they would find him who said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. What a scheme this is. The Father determining that some would come into the family. The Son agreeing to all that is necessary to remove the impediments and the obstacles so that they could come. And then the Spirit concurring and saying, and I will bring them to Christ and so to the Father. But at the end of the day, it is the Father who adopts. Come ye out from among them, 2 Corinthians 6, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children. It is God then who adopts. The second thing I want to say is this: the adopted are elect sinners. That is clear from Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The us are the predestinated. And such as we have seen are redeemed by Christ. He redeemed us from the law, Galatians 4:4 and 5, that we might receive the adoption. And such are called by the Spirit. Do you remember the words of Psalm 45 and verse 10? And here are the words written. Hearken, O daughter. Words addressed to the people who will comprise the church. Hearken, O daughter. Consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Does this adoption of elect sinners, does this include Old Testament believers as well as New Testament believers? Of course. Of course. In the Old Testament, we have words like this in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 1. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. In Isaiah 63 and verse 16, God's ancient people are heard saying, thou art our father. And of course, to such God promised what belongs only to children and heirs: glory. And David was able to say in Psalm 73 at the end there, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Why should I dwell forever in the Father's house? Psalm 23, 6. Because I am the Father's child. And if children, then heirs. The adopted then are elect sinners. The third thing I want to say is this: such belong originally to Satan's family. Our Lord says that in John chapter 8 and verse 44, speaking of the unbelieving Jews of his day, and to them he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. That's where we were. That's where grace found us. In that wretched family. And what a state we were in. In that family we bore the image of the family's head. We were sinners. And the lusts of our father we did do. We were corrupt, as all were in that family. We were destitute of righteousness and of holiness. We hated God. We were condemned. And had grace not intervened and mercy laid hold, one day we would all have been housed under the same roof of eternal perdition. For such is the end of that family. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, reserved for the devil and his angels. But my friends, there is another family. Paul in Ephesians 3:15 speaks of the whole family of God in heaven and in earth. Well might the children of Satan's family look, if they had been enlightened and if they were aware, look at the benefits of being in this other family and envy and covet those benefits. There the Father is benevolent. Their righteousness is the order of the day. There the children are blessed with every spiritual blessing. There for condemnation there is pardon. And their hope is of a kingdom incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for them. So it is a mighty transaction and a translation, is it not, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Or from the family of the evil one into the family of the Holy One. What a wonder is this, that sinners of that ilk can be numbered with saints of this kind. The fourth thing I want to say is this, that the transaction from one family into another is a judicial, legal act. And it is not without difficulty. Jeremiah 3:19 has God saying, "How shall I put you among my children? How can the offspring of the evil one, with all his traits and characteristics, with all his defections and imperfections, how can such an one be numbered amongst God's children?" And I want to tell you, on the grounds of the work of Christ, who paid for our sins and wrought a righteousness for acceptance, it is possible for God to take us from one family and put us into another, because the legal problems have been solved. Sin has been punished. Righteousness has been secured, which means that God can look favorably upon the wretched and make them blessed. Fifthly, the adoption that follows is like no adoption with which we are familiar. It is amazing. Oh, my brethren and sisters, consider what you are in the family of God. How is it better than any conception of which you know? Well, it is better in this sense, that often, not always, but often, in an ordinary adoption, a child is taken from nowhere and brought somewhere. Sometimes two or three children, as we are happily aware, are adopted into a new family. But this adoption is that wherein God has received an elect world into his family. Secondly, in ordinary adoption, we can understand how a prospective parent may look at a child or at an infant and be attracted to that child or infant and to resolve within themselves, that is the one for us. Such a lovely boy, such a lovely girl. Oh, we love that one. But God, my friends, when he adopted and he looked upon us, we weren't goodly children at all. Spiritually, we were deformed. We were corrupt. We were filthy. We were vile. There was everything about us to turn him away. And yet God adopted such, as the answer says, as an act of God's free grace. It wasn't that the object deserved it or had anything commendable about it. God gave this grace of adoption to those who laid claim to no merit, and who therefore could never have expected such a thing. And the third difference is this: that whereas in an ordinary adoption a child is adopted for a time, and when the parent dies, the child may inherit the estate, it is altogether otherwise in this adoption, because it is not for time only, but for eternity. And the father does not die, but the children are forever with the Lord. The sixth thing about this adoption is this, that it has a witness to it, a seal to it. Paul refers to it in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, sealed. Believers are sealed. That means that the Spirit of God makes impress upon us and convinces us that we are among God's children. Now, how does he seal us? Well, let me ask you a question or two. Has the gospel come to your heart in the power of the Holy Spirit and impacted you and turned you from unbelief to faith? You say, yes, it has. Then that Spirit's work is your proof. For such as he works in irresistibly, he brings to the Father through Jesus the Son. Secondly, let me ask you this. Have you known the change of the Spirit? The transformation of the Spirit? Can you look back and say, well, I was like this once. I had no time for this gospel, no time for this church, no time for this Christ. But now, the Lord has won my heart. I've been changed. And you know why you've been changed? because you're a child of God, and it's part of the Lord's instruction of you and education of you that you walk worthy of God. So the change in you is proof and testimony to your adoption. Thirdly, let me ask this. What have you known of the comfort of the Holy Ghost? There are times when the Spirit of God comes to us. I'm not going to deny this, but I cannot explain it. There are times when in the privacy of our own experience, the Spirit of God comes to us and whispers that it's well with our souls. And we are loved with eternal love, the love that will not let us go. And the Spirit persuades us in all our doubt and uncertainty that we are children. That is the seal of the Spirit. And it enables you to say, now are we the sons of God. It is possible to know it, you know. We're not like some Christians, ever sheltering in the shadow of Doubting Castle and thinking it's a virtue to be there. We're basking in the light of Beulah. Thank God that we're here. Looking up to the one above and saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's possible to know. To be sure. To be assured. And seventhly and lastly, my friends, if adoption has taken place, the future is bright with promise. Hear the Saviour, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Oh, that's wonderful. But here's more wonder still. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is staggering. And how can it be? Romans 8, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. You're listening to me. Can you take it in? My friends, can you take it in? Once you were depraved of Adam's race under the curse of the law and bound for the eternal regions of the damned. And now you are of the family of God, blessed with all temporal and spiritual good, and on your way to the Father's blessed abode. Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Well, my friends, I got excited about justification. I'm elated over adoption. To be forgiven is one thing, to be received is another. To be taken out of court with a pardon is one thing, but to be brought into heaven with a title is another thing. To be cleared of the past is great, but greater still is to be assured of the future. Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all of the privileges of the sons of God. Blessed be the name of God for this. Amen.